Good morning, everyone. Lesson 5 from Path to Shiva, which is entitled, What is Hinduism? Hinduism is the ancient religion of India, practiced today by 1 billion people all over the world. With no founder and stretching back unknown thousands of years in India's earliest known civilizations, Hinduism is called Sanatana Dharma, the eternal faith. It is based on the Vedas and other scriptures. 4 beliefs are most central. First is belief in one supreme God who created the universe and who abides everywhere within it. He, she is all and in all. Second is belief in the law of karma, the principle of cause and effect, action and reaction. Third is belief that the cosmos is governed by the principle of dharma, which is divine order, righteousness, and duty. Fourth, Hindus believe in reincarnation, the natural process of birth, death, and rebirth. While these 4 convictions are essential in Hinduism, belief alone is not enough to propel us forward on the path. It is our actions and behavior that are the keys to spiritual progress. Hindus seek to experience God and their inner self through temple worship, meditation, yoga, pilgrimage, and devotional singing. They enjoy a rich family life and ageless traditions of culture. They honor gurus, saints, and sages. They worship many gods who are grand helpers to the Supreme Being. The 3 pillars of Sanatana Dharma are its scriptures, temples, and gurus. Today, Hinduism is like a great banyan tree, whose limbs represent the many variations of this ancient faith. The 4 main branches or denominations are Saivism, Vaishnavism, Shaktism, and Smartism. Each has a multitude of guru lineages, religious leaders, priesthoods, sacred literature, monastic communities, schools, pilgrimage centers, and tens of thousands of temples. Since Hinduism has no one central authority, these are like 4 independent religions sharing a vast common heritage of history, culture, and belief. And the quote from Gurudeva, Hinduism is a mystical religion leading devotees to personally experience its eternal truths within themselves, finally reaching the pinnacle of consciousness where man and God are forever one. Challenge here is how do you choose a couple of points out of all of that. For the 4 beliefs, the idea that God is within us is a very key belief in Hinduism. I remember watching guests come over the years and you don't have to be a Hindu, but just holding Hindu beliefs is enough. They walk up and they walk in and they have a certain sense that relates to God is within them and within you. And certain non-Hindus come in and they just don't have that sense to them at all. You know, it's a very distinctive quality in someone who holds Hindu beliefs that God is in me, God is in you. Reincarnation is important. Otherwise, we panic and try and go too fast. It's like somebody telling you have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner all at once. It's not natural. So we need a time frame, a reasonable time frame, and that's what reincarnation gives to us, a sense that this process is going to take more than one lifetime. And that's definitely not a Western concept, Western secular or Western religious concept. That, you know, in Western secular concept, everything should be packed into one life. It's very frustrating to try and do everything in one life. It's like breakfast, lunch, and dinner at once. You know, it just doesn't really work. Therefore, we need a positive attitude toward reincarnation. We don't want to get frustrated by how slow our progress can seem at times. nor do we want to sit back and say, well, I've got lifetimes to accomplish this, you know, why why should I strive too hard in this one? You know, we kind of have to find the middle ground where we advance as much as we can. That's the point. In each lifetime, we should be striving to advance as much as we can according to what's permitted by our karma and dharma. Just working through karma is advancement, but it doesn't seem like it at the time. So sometimes a lot of karma can come in one lifetime and you have the sense you're not moving forward spiritually, you're just dealing with karma, but that's part of the process too. But another type of progress can be made when life is more sublime. We can go more deeply within ourselves. Reincarnation gives us a time frame, and then we need to understand karma and dharma, which guide how we live in that time frame. We need to find our natural dharma, our natural place in life, and fulfill the duties of that to its fullest. Karma, we need to be wise in how we act and in terms of the future we were creating, and we need to be accepting of what comes to us and not react to it or retaliate. Otherwise, that karma doesn't go away. If it comes and we react and retaliate, then it's just, it was gone for a second between when the karma came and when we reacted and retaliated, but it came right back. So wisdom in handling karma is good. Then we get belief alone is not enough to propel us forward. And then Gurudeva talks about mystical religion leading devotees to personally experience its eternal truths. So belief, another word for belief is faith. If you look up faith in the dictionary, it says something like accepting as true that which you cannot prove. Something like that is the definition of faith. You're just taking it, I'm taking it on faith. I really don't have the ability to know if it's correct or not. So some religions are based on that, but Hinduism is not based on that. Gurudeva gives us three stages of faith in the Master Course trilogy. First one is blind faith. This is just accepting things without really having studied them. We're really accepting them based upon the attainment or understanding of someone else. That's blind faith. We're influenced by someone else. They obviously have it all figured out, and we take it for granted that they're right. Well, if that person goes away, we can lose our blind faith. It's not very strong at all, blind faith. Then we have informed conviction. That's after we've studied something, studied for a few years on earth, and have an understanding of the philosophy that's behind everything in the religion. We understand the basic principles, how it works. So that's stronger. That doesn't go away because somebody leaves the room. It's based upon an intellectual understanding, but it's limited. It can only go as far as the intellect. It can't experience the deeper truths. But it does give a certain stability in faith. Then we have personal realization or experience, and that's the mystical side. So eventually we can experience everything, but it can take a few lifetimes. Just because we can experience it doesn't mean we'll experience it in this lifetime. That's belief or faith. Spiritual progress. Beautiful description of spiritual progress in trilogy. Sanskrit name, Adhyatma Vikasa. Adhyatma is the soul or spiritual nature. Vikasa is becoming visible. Oh, isn't that a nice idea? As we talk about when people really are criminals and terrorists, they're a divine being, but it's sure not visible. It's totally covered up. What's it covered up by? Well, strong instinctive mind in that case. The intellect isn't there yet. It's covered. But we need to uncover it, make it more visible, and that's what we see in spiritual people. We can see it. It's there. It's in all of us, but it's easier to see in a guru. That's why in my talk, I want to see God. It says the easiest place to see God is in a guru, is in a spiritual person, someone who's taken the coverings off. The spirituality is really visible. Oh, we start in the mud. The lotus flower is the example. Come up through the water, then we get up on the surface of the water, and then the bud starts to open. So it starts in the mud. In the mud, of course, is the instinctive mind. The water represents the intellectual mind. So it's quite a distance there. We start in the instinct, we develop an intellect, but we have no sense of God, really. Then when we pop up, we start to get a sense of God. That's spirituality, or superconscious, is the air. But the bud is still closed. So we have a sense God exists, but then we have to open the bud through continued practices. And when the bud is fully open, then that's fully experiencing God. Oh, it's a very nice example. Last point, three pillars of Saivism: scriptures, temples, and gurus. If you utilize all three, then you really have a well-rounded understanding and experience of the religion. If you leave one out, then it's less. And if you only use one, then your understanding and experience is limited. So if what you have encompasses all three, then it has the different aspects. We can benefit a lot from scripture, but too much scripture makes us intellectually proud. We can out-debate anyone with our knowledge of scripture. Well, that's not the goal of Hinduism, right? Intellectually proud and a great debater. We need the temple. Temple helps us develop humility, so we don't have intellectual pride. Balances that out. But the scripture helps us not go into superstition in the temple. Superstition is something which everybody believes, but which doesn't exist in scripture. So you need scripture to control the worship. And then you develop devotion. So devotion and humility are the qualities that come from temple worship. That takes you up to a certain level, but then the guru is needed to really give you the spark for meditation, give you the deeper wisdom. So that allows you to go beyond just scripture and devotion. And if there's no gurus around, no one may be going beyond scripture and devotion. So that can take you up to a certain point, which is good, but it won't open the flower, shall we say. It won't cause the lotus to bloom. Thank you very much. Wonderful day.